Turn with me, if you brought your Bible, over to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. And we're going to look at something that God's been, it started stirring in my heart before Nigeria. And I took some notes to Nigeria thinking maybe I was going to be preaching on it, but it didn't come out. It didn't seem right over there. So, and I got home and bam, there it was again. So we're gonna preach on it because your wife called. She wanted me to talk about it. So y'all didn't take that as a very good joke. I don't know what happened to you while I'm gone, but I'm going to get rid of it before this service is over. Ephesians chapter number 4. We're going to look at something about walking in love. About walking in love. This has been something that they, just been stirring, like I said, and I've been meditating on it again. And how many of you know, once you start getting back into meditating on something, you start seeing things that if you look at the word is a revealer of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Yes. Sometimes it'll show things up that you thought you was already a humdinger in. You thought, wow, I'm doing good. I'm telling you what. Everybody had to look at it. I need a Wizzo button, you know. I'm just all that in a bag of chips. But then you get to examining the word and you find, uh-oh. You know? Amen. So anyway, I just want to share some things stirring around in my heart. Don't have anybody in mind particularly. I'm not gunning for anybody. Just sharing, looking at the word. And we're open to what the word has to say to us, right? Anybody arrived in this area? You've arrived? Okay, you can go home. So if you've arrived, you can go home. But we're going to get in here because some of us still need to grow. I'm including myself. But we're going to feed on this because everything that we are called to do in life, to be honest with you, we need to feed our faith in that area. Yes. We need to feed our faith in that area. And the love walk needs our faith fed. Amen. Somebody said, well, faith works by love, and that's what the word says. But also, love works by faith. Yes. Because love doesn't work by feelings. If love worked by feelings, all of us are in trouble, you know, because, we don't always feel like walking in love. I don't always feel like walking in love. Even the Apostle Paul, who was a great, saint, I don't mean saint in the sense of people call him saint, but you know what I mean? Great, great man of God. And he said he still had to keep his body under. And we look at that sometimes maybe as lust of the flesh for sexual things or something. And that's obviously true. But to keep the body under means all the appetites of the flesh. And getting out of love is one of the appetites of the flesh. So we're going to feed our faith on this, looking at the Word of God. And we're going to become humdingers, right? But to look at your, because we got some husbands and wives in here, right? Look at your spouse and say, I'm shooting to become a humdinger. In the love walk. Hallelujah. Pastor Debbie and I have been married for, that number of years. And since 1988. You know how many years that is. Tell me how many years that is. See if you know, because I know. Not 37 years. And we have experienced both sides of this. We have experienced not walking in love. We've experienced walking in love. And for those of you that are still deciding what you want to do, walking in love's better. Walking in love's better. Much better. Much better for many reasons. Hallelujah. And so, but did you find Ephesians chapter number 4? Many of you have already found it, but 1 Timothy 4:8 says that godliness is profitable. Yes. And you know what godliness is? It's godlikeness. Yes. And how many of you know God is love? Yes. God is love. And so love would be included in godliness. Yes. This is godliness when we walk in the divine kind of love. So, and then he says, godliness is profitable. So walking in love is very profitable for this life. Amen. Very profitable. What that means is, 1 Peter chapter number 3 talks about he that would love life and see good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips they speak no guile. Amen. He's talking about the love walk. If you keep on reading, especially, you can see it's talking about the love walk. So and there he's talking about the love walk concerning our words. Yes. Praise the Lord. We'll get into that tonight. But somebody help me, because the love walk is very profitable for this life.
Yes.
Love life and see good days. See good days. Good days. Blessed days. How many of you know really the Bible, if you want to fully interpret what good days are, it calls it days of heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. Praise the Lord. The atmosphere of our homes ought to be atmospheres of peace and unity, where there's no strife, because we get enough stuff hit us, you know, throughout our day, our work week, you know, things that happen and all the stuff that we encounter. We get enough of that out there, and there doesn't need to, we need a place to come home to where all of that is out there, but in here is unity and kindness and gentle words and praise the Lord. No strife. Your home needs to be a place, and children really need a place to where they're raised in an atmosphere where they don't come out twisted because words are being thrown, harsh things are said. You know what I'm talking about? Yelling and division and strife. That's child abuse, that a child has to be raised in that. That's not right. Parents, your children come out twisted. I mean, yeah, they come out twisted. They don't come out ready for victory. So that's just a little plug there for your marriage and your home. But you found Ephesians 4, right? Ephesians 4. Look at we'll start in verse number 29, and then we're actually going to come on down into chapter 5, a couple of verses down through chapter 5. Let me get my Bible open here. Ephesians 4:29, and this is in the King James. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And then he goes on, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Edifying is the opposite of tearing down. Our words are to build up. Tearing down words, he calls them corrupt communication. In other words, it's defiled. So our words are to be for edifying. Edifying means to build up. It means to, like charge up. But that which is good that to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Minister grace. Your words can minister. In fact, your words do minister. Good or bad on either side. They minister something. They impart something. And then he said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, with wrong words. With wrong words. With wrong words, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Boy, there's so much in that verse. We'll come back to that. Then chapter 5, verse 1, because Paul didn't write in chapter and verse. Man divided it later for reference. But he said, be ye kind. That's the other word. Be ye therefore followers. Now the Greek word is better translated imitators of God as dear children. Like children like to imitate their parents, you know. That's what he's talking about. Be imitators of God as dear children. And what is he mainly referring to? And walk in love. Yes. Walk in love. Now this is the divine kind of love. There's different kinds of love. There's human love. You know, if you love me, I'll love you. You be nice to me, I'll be nice to you. You speak well of me, I'll speak well of you. You give to me, I'll like you. Right? That's the human kind of love. Anybody can do that. You can be a rank sinner and do that. Doesn't take any spirituality. Don't have to be born again, because everybody has that kind of love. But the divine kind of love, remember Romans 5:5, the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts when we were born again by the Holy Ghost. The love of God was the kind of love where, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, you don't have good feelings for people who are sinning against you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So this kind of love is not dependent on how other people treat us. Right? Because there's times we don't necessarily think people are treating us right. Well, what do we do in times like that? We have an opportunity to walk in the divine kind of love, which is not doing unto them as they do unto others. As he's doing unto them as they do unto us. Excuse me. It's not that this divine kind of love is not based in how people treat us. It's based on how God loved us. Look at verse number 29 there again, because I want to go back to chapter 4. Be ye kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as they treat us. No, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. We love as God loved us. In other words, before people do us right. Even when they're not treating us the way we like them to treat us. Right? We treat them right. We don't return evil for evil. We return good for evil. Come on now. I said we in faith. All right. So, hey, you say that's not been me. Hey, let's just say we. This is the way we function.
Yes, sir.
Well, I missed it in this area. Well, repent, get back up, and now we do this. Right?
Yes, sir.
So this is the divine kind of love. Remember, the Bible talks about in John's gospel, the 13th chapter, the 34th verse, it says, the new commandment. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And then he said, as I have loved you.
Yes.
So love ye one another.
Amen.
So this is something that is a different kind of love. Sometimes when people get married, young people get married, they think they fell in love. But here's what it really boils down to. I love you because I want you. I love you because I feel good when I'm around you. Right? I love you because you make me feel good. Notice that's all. Notice the big word in that. Me. 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 You make me feel good.
Come on.
Right? That's based on selfishness. And you're setting up to fail. You're setting up to fail. If you love because somebody's treating you good, you make me feel good. You make me feel special. Well, we ought to make one another feel special. Don't misunderstand me. But see, the divine kind of love, we didn't make ourselves special in the eyes of God before he loved us. Right? We were offensive to him. What we were into was offensive to him. Well, praise the Lord. All this shouting makes me want to go ahead and preach it. But here in chapter number 5, verse number 1, you still there?
Yes.
Be ye therefore followers or imitators of God as dear children, and walk in this same love that he loved us with towards other people, you could say. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us, has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Notice love, the God kind of love doesn't say, I love you, I want you, you make me feel good, so forth. The God kind of love says, I love you, you need me. Love gives. This kind of love gives. I give to you. I bless you. Remember, bless them that curse you. Well, who does that?
Right.
What kind of person does that? Those that are walking in the divine kind of love. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, so this passage is so powerful. There's so much in here. Notice, he said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. So the God kind of love forgives.
Yes.
The God kind of love doesn't hold grudges. It doesn't remind people of their faults. Aren't you glad when we go to God? He doesn't every time we go to him. Well, there you are again. You messed up so many times. I don't know what you're doing in my throne room. What are you here for this time? Well, dear God, we'd never have any faith. And we'd never go to God if all we got when we went to him was just our pointing out our faults. Right? And we can't have good relationships with one another if somebody's just insisting on pointing out somebody else's faults. Amen. That's not wise. You're ruining your relationships. Strife is not wise. James 1 says strife is not smart, not wise. Amen. So we'll see what we can get into here. But another thing that's interesting about this passage in chapter number 4, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Isn't that right? Yes. Why would God have to write to Christians, tongue talkers, and say, be kind? Huh? Be kind. Because we still have this fleshly nature. Right? We still have. When we got saved, we didn't get a body that had the nature of love. The inward man got the nature of love. So the fleshly nature will be unkind just like that.
Yeah.
Somebody said, no. Yeah. Yeah, look at yourself. Right? Well, and then why would God have to tell us to, forgive one another? What he's telling you ahead of time, you're going to have grand opportunities. Yes. To get offended, to hold unforgiveness, and be irked, right? And offended. You're going to have wonderful opportunities. Somebody said, I'm just believing I won't have any. Well, you have no scripture to stand on. In this world, you're going to experience some tribulation. You're going to encounter things. You're going to come to experiences where people don't treat you right. And some experiences where you don't think they're treating you right. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to walk in love. It's a wonderful opportunity to practice. Some of us want to be giants spiritually, but we keep passing up opportunities to grow up. Because we fly off the handle, get offended, and start spewing out words. Hallelujah. You still glad you came tonight?
Yes.
Now, so there he says, be kind, forgiving one another. If there was never going to be anything to forgive, he wouldn't have to tell us that.
Right.
That means just things are going to come up that Paul's writing by the inspiration of the Spirit, and he's telling us ahead of time we're going to have wonderful opportunities to be offended and hold unforgiveness.
Yes.
And he's telling us ahead of time, we need to make the decision, right?
Yeah.
And so why is this such a big issue? Because this is the only way our faith will work.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Mark, we love Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24, but we stop. We don't want to read verse 25. And if you have aught against any, when you stand praying, forgive.
Yes.
If you have aught against any. Anything. Aught means anything. Well, I'll just forgive the big things, but these little things. Well, ought means big things, little things, medium-sized things. I mean, microscopic things, whatever. Things, stuff.
Come on.
So forgive if you have anything. 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 Small things. You just get irritated at your husband because he just doesn't do this, doesn't do that. Anything. Boy, it's quiet in here tonight. Why is it such a big deal? Because John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give unto you that you love. This is not a suggestion in the Bible. This is a commandment. And if you read Romans 13 and John 13:34 closely, you can see that this is the New Testament commandment. People say, oh, we need to keep the Ten Commandments. I'm not too much focused on that. I'm focused on the love walk, because if I do the love walk, I won't do any of the do anything to break the Ten Commandments.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And he said in Romans 13 there, if we walk in love, we fulfill the whole law. Everything in the Old Testament commandments.
Amen.
Well, then this is something to focus on.
Amen.
And that's why it's a big deal, because every step outside of love is sin.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Because it's what is sin? Sin is disobedience. Sin is not doing what God told us to do. It's also, failing to do what he told us to do. But sin is disobedience. So if he said, this commandment I give unto you to love one another, then to not do that is disobedience.
Yeah.
Which is, what's it called?
Sin.
How many of you know there's a remedy for sin?
Yes.
And so we sometimes wonder why things aren't better. It could be because of sin. I don't know about you, but I'm just saying it could be. We have to examine ourselves in this area. Amen. And so what does 1 Corinthians 11 tell us to do? It tells us to judge ourselves about this. Well, how are we going to judge ourselves if we're not constantly hearing it? We got to keep our mind in meditating in the truths of the divine kind of love, because what we're not meditating in, we're always doing wonderful in. Isn't that right? You got that, didn't you? You got that. Meditation has a way of showing things up. And when you see what the Bible actually says, just take the 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, and look it in the Amplified. Just read it, meditate on it. And every day you'll find yourself with wonderful opportunities to get outside of the love walk. Well, praise the Lord. So we're going to look at it a little bit tonight, right? Remember, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 14, I believe. The love of Christ constraineth us. There's something on the inside of you sometimes when you're about to say something, do something, act a certain way, that's going like the reins on a horse going, whoa, horsey. Don't say that. Don't act that way. Don't roll your eyes like that. Right?
Yes.
Some things aren't said, they're just expressed.
Yes.
Well, praise the Lord. Then there's something on the inside. It's called the love of God. It'll draw you back from doing those things. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Paul said we're to keep our fleshly natures of our body under. 1 Corinthians 9:27, I keep my body under. Right? And so he's talking about under control of our spirit man. So whenever our spirit man in there is pulling the reins back on our expressions, our actions, our words, and saying, don't say that, don't act that way. Then what that's doing is trying to get us to respond to the love of God in us rather than the irritations of our flesh.
Yeah.
And so that's what it means to keep our body. One of the things it means to keep our bodies under. Right? And so we've got to accept our responsibility in this. Well, it's just the Irish in me. Yeah? Irish flesh. It's just the way I was raised. Well, if it's not in line with the love of God, it's going to have to change. Well, when I grew up, we just gave people a piece of our mind. Well, that doesn't mean it was right just because they did that in your house. Amen. We've got to accept our responsibility in this. Right? Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. All right. Now, James chapter number 1 says in verse number 19 that we're to be slow to speak and slow to wrath.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
Is that still in your Bible?
Yes.
You know, you get out of love quicker with your words than you will about any other way.
Right.
The Bible says the tongue's the most unruly member.
Yes.
And you'll sin much quicker with your mouth open than you ever will with your mouth shut. Amen. Amen. Boy, we haven't preached on this for a while, so we need to hear some of this. It, particularly when people don't treat us the way we think they ought to treat us. Woo, praise the Lord. So that's why it says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Well, hallelujah. So in times when your flesh doesn't like the way somebody's treating you, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That'll apply to situations like that, won't it? That means shut your mouth until you judge what you're about to say. Let me meditate on this. Yeah, that's probably something I shouldn't say. Right? Hallelujah. If you open your mouth too quickly at the irritations of your flesh, you're going to sin. Whoa, Pastor. What'll happen is your flesh will light up your tongue. And your tongue lit up by the flesh, the irritations of the flesh, or not liking the way somebody treated us or something like that. That irritation will light up our tongue, and our flesh, our tongue will say things that burn up our life. Burn up the blessings of God. That's what James 1 talks about. The tongue is an unruly evil, and it's like a fire, and it'll burn up whole forests, and people burn up their life, and they wonder why the blessings of God just aren't flowing, because they keep opening their mouth and setting it on fire. So there's a lot of smoke around. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Have you found out yet that the divine kind of love isn't in your flesh? So a big part of watching over your love walks, watching over your tongue. Yes. Yeah. Hallelujah. And aren't you glad you have help of the Spirit to do that? Yes. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that constrainer, the love of God in us constrains us, and the Holy Ghost is in there going, don't say that, don't say that.
Right. Yes.
It's whenever we override that we get ourselves in trouble. Any of you husbands ever been in the doghouse for a long time because you opened your mouth? Just one person willing to be honest tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. Here's something in Jude chapter number 1 that'll help us with this issue of the tongue. Anybody want some help with the issues of the tongue? Jude 1 says in verse 20 and 21, Jude 1, 20 and 21 says, we know the part there in verse 20 was building up yourselves, ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Keep yourself in the love of God. Verse 21, keep yourself in the love of God. Hallelujah. Notice praying in tongues will help keep you in the love of God. Did you notice that? So speaking much in tongues under inspiration of the Spirit will help us bridle our tongue. Isn't that right? That's what this is talking about. The reason is because where the love of God comes from is the same place that utterance in tongues is coming from. Utterance in tongues, we're told in 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 14 especially, but other verses, utterance in tongues comes out of our spirit by the help of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Right? So speaking in other tongues is coming out of the new nature of our recreated spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in there helping us to speak in tongues. So when we speak in tongues, we're speaking out of that new nature. Well, when we... that being the case, that's the same place that the love of God is shed abroad. It's shed abroad in our hearts, not in our flesh, not in our heads. It's shed abroad in our hearts, right? So when we speak much in other tongues, we're schooling ourselves to speak only what comes out of our spirits rather than the flesh, our feelings, our emotions, or the irritations of our flesh. Am I making any sense?
Yes.
So we're training ourselves, we're schooling ourselves to talk out of here when we speak much in other tongues. And it's very difficult to switch real quickly from being in a flow of speaking out of here and then speaking out of our flesh. You can school yourself in talking only out of your spirit. Right? So when you use your faith to draw out of your spirit, I'm talking about speaking in other tongues. When you use your faith to draw out of your spirit, what's happening in you're trusting the Holy Ghost to give you the next words to speak. Right? You don't know the next words you're going to speak. You're trusting the Holy Ghost to give it to you. Right? Am I making any sense? And so therefore, that you're drawing out of your spirit to say something. And you're doing it by faith.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. And so when that happens, rather than speaking what comes to you from the impulses of your flesh or the swirling emotions, you're trusting the Holy Ghost to give you the next thing to say.
Yes,
hallelujah. And when you walk in love, you're in that same flow.
Yes.
You're trusting the Holy Ghost within you to give you the next thing to say rather than flow out of the irritations of the emotions, the worked up emotions or the irritations of your flesh. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And when you're trusting the Holy Ghost to give you the next things to say, and when it comes to the love walk, the next thing to say might be nothing. I just don't have anything coming to me to say. Well, it's probably pretty good that you're not going to say anything right now. Because Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words there once not sin. He that refrains his lips is wise. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. So that's why we sin quicker with our mouth open than we do with our mouth shut. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. And so sometimes the Spirit will restrain you or constrain you or keep you from, I mean, he doesn't force you. That, when I say keep you, he's trying to keep you.
Yeah.
He won't, how many of you know, he'll pull back the reins, but that doesn't mean we always respond to him.
Right.
We're learning to respond to him,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And whenever he pulls back the reins and we decide we're not going to say that, we just kept ourselves from sinning. Which is a great victory, right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So guard what you say under the pressures or the irritations of the flesh.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Guard what you say. Remember, keep yourself in the love of God. The Amplified Classic says there, and I'm talking about Jude 1:21, guard and keep yourself in the love of God. There's a guarding of yourself by keeping yourself in the love of God. You're keeping yourself in the place where Satan cannot get access to you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So when it comes up to watching over things in the spirit, the best place to start watching over is your mouth.
Yes.
Is your mouth. Praise God.
Yes,
hallelujah. Oh, whew, boy, this is rough tonight, Lord. They're just. First Peter 3 says your tongue has a lot to do with verse number 7, 8, 9, 10 down through. Your tongue has a lot to do with the quality of your life. It has a lot to do, according to 1 Peter chapter 3, it has a lot to do with how long you live and whether those days are good days or bad days. Isn't that right? He that would love life and see good days, do something, do the right thing with your tongue. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's amazing sometimes, and I'm not just talking about others. I look at myself sometimes. It's amazing how much we operate out of the soul, the feelings of the soul, the natural human love, you might say, which is, you know, if I don't feel like it, you know, I'm not going to act right. I'm not going to be kind. I'm not going to say the right things because the flesh gets irritated. Right?
Yes.
And when your feelings are dominating you instead of the love of God, then what you're going to do is get outside of the love of God.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And And a lot of times, outside of the love of God, your flesh wants to say certain things. It does not want to forgive. Have you noticed how humbling it is to humble yourself and say, I was wrong, please forgive me. You notice how humbling that is? But it's also our way of escape. It's our way of escape. There's a lot of things there's no way out of except I was wrong. Right? And let me say to you husbands, if you don't say that regularly from time to time, you're probably outside of the love of God. Well, that went over like a... Right? Well, praise the Lord. So when we're dominated by our emotions or fleshly feelings rather than the love of God shed around our heart, we're walking in a measure of darkness. Go over to 1 John chapter number 2. Go to 1 John chapter number 2. Because this was something that came up while I was meditating on this afternoon. And I was reminded of this. I'm like, oh yeah. This is something that is important to remember. 1 John 2 verse 9, it says, he that saith he is in the light. Anybody claiming to be walking in the light in here? All of us should be. He that says, I'm talking like Nigeria. He that saith he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. Yikes. So we got the love walk there. And we've got, look at verse number 10, you see the love walk. He that loves his brother abides in the light. So you got the love walk there and you got hate there. And love is light or walking in the light, and hate is walking in the darkness. Right? So verse 10, he that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. He that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not whether he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Whew, well, there's so much in that passage. But what he's saying there is, in fact, go back to the first chapter of, we'll bring something else into this. We'll go back to the first chapter, 1 John chapter number 1. Look at verse number 6 and then verse number 7. If we say that we have fellowship with him or God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Well, darkness could mean a whole lot of things, but from chapter 2, what could it mean? I mean, what does it mean from chapter 2, the verses we read, verses 9 through 10? Hate or not walking in love. Not walking in love is walking in a measure of darkness. And darkness is Satan's territory. Satan's territory, Satan's kingdom is called the kingdom of darkness. So he's talking about not walking in love. It gets us on Satan's territory. And he says, when we're walking in darkness, he said, we don't know where we're going. In other words, not walking in love has a way of dulling us spiritually. So where we don't perceive certain things. Right? I've seen people ruin their marriage and they think it's the other person. Totally deceived to the fact their actions and their words is what's ruining this thing. It's deception.
Yes, sir.
Because pride doesn't want to admit that it's doing anything wrong.
Yeah, right. Come on. Yeah.
Pride. Oh, my. And people go on with their hard-headed, bull-headed pride with their focus on the other person and don't realize it's you.
Yep.
It's the person. You know, everybody has to take responsibility for themselves.
Yes.
And there's usually two sides.
Yes.
But the ones that are proud and always point to the other person, they're the one that is usually the problem.
Exactly. Yeah. That's good.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Praise the Lord. And so it takes humility to say, I'm wrong. But that's the way of escape. Amen? The natural flesh doesn't want to repent because repentance requires humility. And the natural flesh wants to hold unforgiveness, and it wants to find fault. Amen? Tell me I'm preaching all right. There's things that the Bible talks about this. It calls it being a slanderer. You can find that in, I'm looking for the verse, I don't seem to find it right here. But the Bible talks about people who slander. And that just simply means they point out the faults of others. They're strifers. Strife doesn't point out the faults of others. Excuse me, I said strife, does it? Strife points out the faults of others.
Right.
I'm still waking up from my nap. Strife is always slandering the other person. A person who's always slandering the other person is a strifer. Dr. Dufresne used to call them strifers. And he said the strifers get the vipers.
That's right.
That's right.
There's some folks getting some help in here tonight. Even though it's real quiet, there's some folks getting some help in here tonight. You're walking in darkness. God doesn't point out your faults every time you come to Him. And trust me, we've got them. But He doesn't bring it up. He loves us out of things. A lot of times, there's a lot of things He could say. But He works with us, and gives us time, tell your neighbor, time. He gives us time to grow out of things. I remember a particular person I was praying for one time. It's like, Lord, that's going to have to change in them. And He just spoke to me. He said, they'll grow out of it. Don't just leave them alone. They'll grow out of it. I'm not talking about any relative or anything. I'm talking about just somebody I was ministering to. They'll grow out of it. And sure enough, they just grew out of it. See, it's a lot of times it's a growth thing, and it takes somebody being patient with us while we grow out of it, and not and patient doesn't mean we're pointing out the fault of the person all the time.
Come on. So good, Pastor. Come on.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So back here to 1 John chapter number 2, it's walking in darkness to be anything out of love is darkness. Love is light. You can see that here. And Jude 1 says it's our job to keep ourselves in the love of God. So keep ourselves in the light, right?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
But we won't do that if we're dominated by our emotions.
Yes.
Or fleshly feelings.
Yes.
Right? But if we walk in our feelings, we're going to walk in a measure of darkness. Why? Because our feelings are coming out of, these irritated feelings, these unforgiving feelings, these I'm going to give them a piece of my mind feelings. Those are coming out of the fallen nature of sin in our flesh. I know this isn't real, maybe shout and run the aisles kind of preaching, but we got to get a hold of ourselves in this. Because it's just something that God put on my heart. We'll have to all examine ourselves on. And when we're walking in that, or walking out of our irritatedness or whatever, then what we're doing, we're walking in a measure of darkness. And if we continue to do that, we will have more and more trouble either in our bodies, physical bodies, with sickness or disease, or in our emotions and in our minds. Because I don't know if you remember, I'm just hitting the tops of so many truths here, so many things we could get down into a lot deeper. But you remember Jesus talked about, and this is in Matthew chapter number 18, where He talked about the man who didn't forgive. In that parable, he was forgiven of a great debt, and then he found a man that owed him a little bit of money, and he took him by the throat and said, pay me what you owe me. And the guy said, please give me time, I'll pay everything. And he wouldn't, so he threw him in, basically we'd say a work camp to work it off.
Yeah.
And the king actually, who had forgiven him of a great debt, found out about it and called him in and said, what's this I hear about you? I forgave you a great debt, and you didn't forgive this guy a little debt. And you remember the Bible said that he was turned over to the tormentors. Remember that? He uses that word, tormentors, until all that his, in other words, his debt was restored to him. That debt was restored to him. And then Jesus said, so likewise will your Father do to you if you don't forgive. Somebody said, the problem is I can't. Okay, get saved.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Come on.
Because you can. If you're born again, the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts. God has furnished that love. Now, what we do with it's another thing. There's things sometimes our flesh doesn't want to, and maybe that'd be more honest to say, my flesh doesn't want to. But to say I can't is not reality. The flesh is what we're yielding to whenever we say we can't. We're yielding to the nature that can't, and that's the sin nature. The dark territory. Right? So he said it was all restored back. But the thing that always stands out to me is he said that he was turned over to the tormentors. And that's in line with other scriptures. You're going to have, sometimes people say, pray for me for deliverance from, you know, emotional upheaval, emotional trouble, or anxiety attacks, something like that. Some of that's coming out of unforgiveness.
Yeah.
You will have trouble with torment in your mind and an unsettled mind in holding unforgiveness.
Yes.
You'll have emotional problems. Remember King Saul? King Saul had an evil, in the Old Testament, an evil spirit that harassed him, and you can see why. He got jealous of David and chased him around trying to kill him for a couple of years. And the more he did it, the more he had emotional problems. So, he that would love life and see good days. Good days are healthy days in your body. Good days are days where you're not tormented in your mind. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is good preaching, Pastor Jay. I want to have good days. But if we continue to embrace our hurts and the way somebody did me wrong, and offenses, then there'll be no freedom for us. You out there?
Yes, sir.
The rulers of the darkness of this world will have access to us. Remember Ephesians 6 talks about different categories of demons, and one of them is the rulers of the darkness of this world. That, what does that mean, rulers of the darkness? They can only rule where somebody's walking in spiritual darkness.
Yeah.
And of course, that's the world, but how about if believers don't practice 1 John 2, 9 and 10? Or 10 and 11. What if believers are walking in the darkness of unforgiveness? Huh?
Yes.
Then there's access. The rulers of the darkness of this world have access to believers.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Because if we're yielding to that kingdom of darkness, then that kingdom has access to us.
Yes.
But how many of you know you can get back on the right territory? And forgive. Somebody said, but I just can't. Well, you're going to have to do it by faith.
Yes, sir.
Because the nature of God is in there.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to do it by faith. You can't do it by feelings. It's a choice you make.
Yes.
Choice you make. Amen? Say it's a choice you make. Brother Hagin told a story. It's a very interesting story. I think it was the first church he pastored. I think it was 1939. I know that, but I think that was the first church he pastored. I wasn't there. I just heard a story. but he said that they moved into the parsonage. You know, that day the churches all had parsonages, and they moved in. It was one of the first days or so. They were all still, you know, unpacking and getting everything set up. And one of the ladies in the congregation came to visit them and welcome them and everything. And they're chit-chatting and talking. And Brother Hagin said this lady, in the middle of her talking, started talking about how a lady in the church had treated her wrong. And she started going into it and talking about it in all the details. And, you know, Brother Hagin said, well, I guess last week they got in a fuss. And so I'll get them restored. And Brother Hagin said, how long ago did this happen? And she said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Brother Hagin said, I thought she was going to say days. 8. Next Tuesday, it'll be 8 years. And she said, Brother Hagin said, I guess the look on my face made her say what she said next. Because she said, Brother Hagin said, my face must have looked surprised that she didn't say days. Because, you know, she's giving all the details like it happened last week.
Yeah.
And so Brother Hagin said, the look on my face must have made her respond this way. Because she said, oh, don't misunderstand me. I forgave her.
Oh,
But she said, I never will forget how that devil treated me. Brother Hagin said, without thinking, he had to almost put his hand up to stop himself, and he didn't get it up in time. He said, sister, you're a bald-faced liar. You haven't forgiven her. If you had forgiven her, you wouldn't be over here in my house talking to me about it. Come on, somebody. Well, I forgave, but I haven't forgotten. Well, then you haven't forgiven. Remember, we love one another as God loved us. Remember, he forgave us. But how many of you know he said, he went on and he said, thy sins and iniquities I will remember no more. So not only did he forgive it, he forgot it. That's why he doesn't remind you of it every time you come to, because he forgot it. He chose to forget it. I really, I'm not perfect by any means. You understand that. But I really get kind of blessed. Sometimes somebody will bring something up that they did years ago that they had told. You know, we pastored here for 23 years now, so you know, we've walked through things with people and so forth. And then, you know, we get them on the other side of it, and they're living victoriously and stuff. And it's fun that sometimes, not out of condemnation, but sometimes they'll mention in a story or something about how that they had fallen and so forth and what God's doing in their life now. So, and they'll mention it, and I'll be sitting there, I'll be going, I don't want them to talk anymore about it, because I don't want to talk about it. Yeah. But I'm trying to think, what did they do? Because I don't live there.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I don't live there. I don't know. I'm not all irritated. And sometimes people done things to us. But I don't live there. Boy, I'm just pinching myself sometimes, like, that's pretty good. I'm doing better than I used to do, where I don't even think about it anymore. How Brendan treated me. I'm telling you, I just don't remember it anymore.
That old man.
Glory! Well, when you're walking around all emotionally worked up about it, you haven't forgiven them. Tell your neighbor, he's preaching better than you're amening. If you continue to embrace those hurts and rehearse them, you know what I'm talking about, going over and over it, then you haven't forgotten it. It would stay in yesterday if you'd stop talking about it today. Leave it alone. Go, just leave it back there. Forgive it. Forget it. Move on. There's one thing that the past is worthy of, and that's forgetting. Yeah, but they haven't come and repented. Well, just go ahead and forgive them anyway. God didn't wait for us to repent before he forgave us. I mean, some people never will come and repent. So what are you, trapped in a unforgiveness because they never came and repented? No, God hadn't set it up to where we're trapped by anything. I've had people talk about me, criticize me, do us wrong. And they found out later repented, and they've come to us sometimes and said, please forgive us. I said, I never held it against you. I really don't have to forgive you because I never held it against you.
Amen.
You know, there's something better. Remember, well, I got to finish this story. I got to wrap this up. You remember that story Pastor Nancy told where she said somebody talked about her and criticized her really publicly. And she said, that's not right. They need to bring that. If they have something to say, they bring it to me privately. So I'm going to go to them privately after this. And I'm going to talk to them about why they talked about me publicly. So she went to him private, and the Lord, well, she said that whenever she said, I'm going to go talk to them privately, she said, the Lord said to her, don't do it.
Yeah.
I said, Lord, she said, Lord, I got scriptures for this.
Right.
If any man, you know, offend you, go to him privately. Matthew, Jesus talked about that. She said, she told the Lord, I got scriptures for this. The Lord said, don't do it. She said, I got scriptures for this. Remember that story?
Yeah.
And so she went and talked to him, and it did no good to talk to him. They just blew it off, never changed, never said anything, never. And so she went back to the Lord and said, well, Lord, what's going on? And the Lord said, I told you, don't go talk to him. And she said, I told the Lord, I have scriptures to go talk to him. And he said, that scripture, and she brought that up. Is anybody, offended you? Go to them. Remember that? And go to them privately. And the Lord said, that scripture doesn't apply to you. Oh, I think it does, she said. He said, no, that doesn't apply. She said, the Lord told her, that scripture applies to people who took the offense.
Right.
You know better than to take the offense.
Yes.
Because remember, First Corinthians chapter number 13 in the Amplified Classic, when it talks about the love of God, it talks about the love of God. It just basically overlooks wrong.
Yeah.
I forget how it says it. Something to that effect. Takes no account. That's it. Thank you. Takes no account of the evil done. She said, the Lord told her, that scripture applies to baby Christians who take account for wrongs that are done to you. You're more mature and you know better than to take account. Taking account means you marked it down. They did me wrong. But walking in love, you can get to the place walking in love where you don't even recognize or mark it down that they did me wrong. You just let it go on by. You don't ever take the offense. Whoa, glory.
Hallelujah.
That's better than being all worked up and high blood pressure for 3 days. Come on, somebody. Takes no account of a suffered wrong. Takes no account. That means it doesn't mark it down. That dirty devil did me wrong. I'm telling you what. Well, that's good preaching, Pastor Jay. Hallelujah. Say it out loud. I'm growing in the love walk. I'm getting more spiritual in the love walk. Spiritual believers don't even take account of the wrong done to them. We believe the best.
Yes, sir.
I said we believe the best.
Yes.
Glory. How much life? We pass up a lot of bad days, if you want to call them bad days. We'd pass a lot of that up if we just get over the flesh and the irritations of our flesh. Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything out of that?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Stand up with me.
Amen.
Thank God for the love of God. Thank God for the love of God. We walk in love like God loved us. How did he love us? He forgave it and he forgot. And learn to not even take the offense. Learn to pass those things up. Say, I'm not going to let the devil ruin my day. Not going to let the devil ruin my day. And here's where long life is. You know, we haven't talked much about it, but I think now we can. Brother Don Lowe here, he pastored, he and Carla down in, down there. How was it? 3 or 4 board members rose up against you, tried to divide the church and all kinds of things. And they started dying, dropping dead. The last one ended up in a wheelchair. Hello? It doesn't pay to not walk in love towards the body of Christ, trying to divide the body of Christ. And here he is.
Yep.
Outlived them all. Sometimes I wish I could tell more stories. You know, when people die, you can tell stories. No, don't die. Don't die. Don't just. Amen. Hallelujah. It just doesn't pay. It just doesn't pay to walk in the dark. Doesn't pay. Doesn't pay. Doesn't pay. Doesn't pay. Walking in love pays.
Yes.
Pays to walk in love. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I was just thinking about that today. Bless their hearts. Got over on this territory of darkness and opened the door to the devil. Thank God I'm staying on the light territory. Anybody staying on the light territory? It's just not worth it. It's too expensive to get over on the dark side. Brother Juan started it talking about the dark side. But we're going to stay on the light side. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Tell your neighbor. In fact, just raise both hands and make this confession to the Lord rather than say it to your neighbor. Say this to the Lord. I'm walking in the light.
I'm walking in love.
I'm walking in love.
Where the devil can't touch me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm walking in faith.
I'm walking in faith.
Because my faith works by love.
Thank you, Lord.
I trust you.
I trust you
when others have done me wrong. I trust you to make up the difference. Without me getting offended. Or hurt. In Jesus' name. I trust you to make up what I trust you to make up the difference. Hallelujah. Sometimes I've lost money because of things that I paid people that I really didn't know them. But I paid it because I wanted to keep the peace. And I just give it, pay it out, and then turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm doing the right thing. I expect you to make that up. Yes, and he does it every night. We've never missed a dime.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's worth it.
Yes.
It's worth it. It's worth it in long life. It's worth it in the peace in your mind.
Amen.
You know, I don't know every situation of every person, but there are so many people on these medications nowadays, and it's a lot for the emotional realm or the mental realm and so forth. This has got to be examined.
Yes, yes.
It might not be the reason in every case. I don't know every case, so I'm not trying to accuse every person of being the same, I'm not trying to put everybody in the same pot, so to speak. But this ought to be something we examine.
Yes.
When did it go wrong? When did we start? Well, it could be this has to be something we have to look at.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I would have to admit I was wrong. And your point?
Yes.
Well, I would look bad. And your point? Amen. We all have to sometimes humble ourselves.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'm glad I came to church tonight.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You can choose to forgive.
Yes.
Do it by faith.
Yes.
Brother Hagin said this. He said, the divine kind of love has never been in a divorce court.
That's right.
Now, he said, you got to understand, it takes two to walk in love.
Yes.
Takes two to walk in love.
Yes.
But if two walk in love, it's never been to a divorce court.
Yeah,
amen. And you're not, you shouldn't live under condemnation if somebody else is not walking in love.
Come on.
And if you went to the divorce court or something like that because of that, don't let that bother you because it takes two, like I said.
Yes.
Some people just... Well, how can I say it? Some people ought to be gotten away from.
Yeah, that's true.
On rare occasions, we don't do it very often, but on rare occasions, we tell people, yeah, if I were, I know that's what you're talking about doing, and we'll support you in it.
Yes, amen.
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 Just because, anyway,
yeah.
Living in that guy's house,
yeah.
Just nothing but a tornado in his house,
right.
Tearing stuff up. And she's falling apart emotionally.
Yeah. Come on.
Well, why'd I get on that?
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says that the thing that governs these things in the New Testament is peace. If they be willing to dwell with you, then you can live with them in that house, right? And peace determines that. But if they're always, just creating a storm, they're not willing to live in peace. Well, praise the Lord. Glad I came to church. Turn to your neighbor and say, I love the peace of God. And I choose peace in my relationships. That means I walk in the divine kind of love. Hallelujah. That means I overlook the wrongs of others. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're not talking about, saying that sin's not sin. We're just not the ones that are responsible to be the big corrector of everybody else. Amen. Well, they're supposed to treat me right. Well, you're responsible. Can I just get on that for a second? You're not responsible for the way they treat you. You're responsible for the way you treat them. That's where you and my responsibility is, the way I'm acting, not the way somebody else acts. Well, glory to God. Get your nose out of the way they treat you. Amen. Husbands and wives come in sometimes and they're pointing at each other. And, we take them to Ephesians 4, chapter number 6, I guess. Yeah, whatever. But where it talks about, 5, whatever. Husbands, love your wives. And then wives... And then it tells them what to do. But the husband's always in the wife's verse, and the wife's always in the husband's verse. And he told us at the beginning of the verse, who's this for?
Yes.
Husbands? In other words, wives, get out of there. He's not talking to you. He's talking to the husbands.
Yes, exactly.
Don't go to that verse and say, you're supposed to treat me this way. It's none of your business the way he treats you. It's your business the way you treat her. You treat, your spouse.
Yes.
Well, praise the Lord.
Yes.